doing Simkuf Chaf Halacha Dalet today. Trepidish, in English called a tripod. It's the grate, the stovetop grate. In stovetop grate. It's called a, it's also called a Dreyfus. That's what the Tazen Shach called a Dreyfus, as in 3 feet, you know? Okay. Shishoks in the lane back there, that you put the pots on top of it, so it's a stovetop grate. In Tunis Tzvil, they don't need to be kevel. Aval Pedilish, that's a spit. The Beis calls it a grillish, like as in the door grill, and others call it a roast. Okay, a roast, again, that's a grill, a spit. Tunis Tzvil, and the reason why that one needs Tzvil Nation, because you put the food right onto it. Okay, so the what is it? What's it been saying? At least it appears to be saying is that the things that touch food, that's why it's called food contact. Things that touch food, those things need tefillah. So the spit, you put your food right onto it, as opposed to the grate, the stovetop grate doesn't touch the food. You only put your pots on top. You don't put your food onto that. So that doesn't need tefillah. So this thing, at first glance, there's no Gemara that says this thing. It's not brought in the Torah either. The Rishon brings it. It's Rishon who speak about it. But there's no Gemara. Okay, so what's the makar that there's such a rule that if it doesn't touch the food, I need it for later. That if it doesn't touch the food, that it doesn't, that does or doesn't, that it doesn't need tefillah. So the Gemara says, that when the Gemara does say, which is what we'll talk about in the next halacha, the Gemara says a line, Klei Suda Amurim Parsha. That's what the Gemara says. Klei Suda Amurim Parsha. And that means is, the Gemara said it in a different thing, that has to do with food, things that you use for preparing food. Meaning if you use a scissors for cutting paper, you don't have to title that, because it's not made for using for food. And the Gemara says, the Gemara uses that line to describe Klei Suda Amurim Parsha, only things that you use for preparing food. But the Rashba says, well, really, the makar even to that, that means not things for cutting paper, don't need tefillah. The makar to that is because the parsha of tefillah's kelim and the parsha of hagolah's kelim are intertwined, that they're all mixed together, that the psukim are all mixed one with the other. So it's to teach you that it's the kelim that need, hagolah's kelim are the kelim that need tefillah's kelim. They go together. That's why the parshas are together like that. So it's only the things that are clay suda, which are potentially need hagolah's kelim, those are the things that need tefillah's kelim. And so just like it teaches us that din, which is the din coming the next din, that if you have a scissors for cutting paper, you don't need tefillah, so too it teaches us this din, that only the things that touch the food need tefillah. Okay, it doesn't say it in the Gemara. The Gemara says the makar to that Gemara is the makar to our din. Also, the thing that you put food that touch the food, those things need tefillah. But the things that touch...
paper, scissors also need tefillah.
Because?
No.
If you have a scissor that's only used for cutting paper, like the Mora uses it in kindergarten, she just uses it for cutting paper.
Understand.
So what does it need? Doesn't need scissors. It doesn't need a cloth scale. And the Bitoche, it cuts paper.
Well, okay, you're going to use the tzayfen, you only use it for cutting. Okay.
No, it's a scissor for cutting papers. Well, you never cut tzayfen, you cut papers with it.
I understand.
Well, what do you want to
cut papers with? It's a scissor meant if they keep it in the kindergarten, they cut the papers with it. You never have to cut
it. Because there's no bleas.
Right. So
they're meant for chicken also.
So it teaches us the types of things that need three love, the types of things that get trace from touching food, things that are not meant for cutting food, things that are meant that's sold for not for food use, they don't need to. So now, just regular, if you hold one second, I'll make a whole
different question. The part it says, the makar of the tumor that you have to be entitled for,
okay,
is that the keli is mukhan for machalas tzuris. It's mukhan to be used for it.
Okay. So that's actually a question. That's actually a question we'll get to in a later din, I think, about what happens if the guy didn't use it for food and I do use it for food. That's a question. We'll hold that for a second. You're saying, because the guy had in mind to use it for food, puts on a certain tumor to it. Let's say he used it for paper and I'm going to use it for food. It's going to be in a later din. Okay. So you're connecting it to the fact that how did the guy plan on using it, it may not depend on it. Okay. Okay, so the even though that's the gross, that's the makar to the din, it's not the rules of the din. So what I mean is like this. It's the rule is that it's only things that need to have hagolas kelim. The thought is things that need hagolas kelim need tefillah's kelim. But that doesn't mean that, let's say I use something for cold, okay, and I don't need to do hagolas kelim to it. So we don't say no, it doesn't need tefillah's kelim. It's going to be a later din if you use a cup just for kol. It needs tefillah's kelim anyhow. What are they using? A brand new keli. It needs tefillah's kelim also. It's not the way we follow the rules of the din, but it teaches us the criteria, the types of things that have food contact in our case, or that are used for food. That's the next thing. Those are the kinds of things that need to have tefillah's kelim. But once you got past that, you don't follow the rules of whether there are or not beliefs. Okay. So the simple case is what I just said to you, like the cold food. If you use a cup that you only use for cold, that doesn't mean halakha's kelim. You don't have to cash it. You just get rid of the tray. So then you still need to do tefillah's kelim. Okay. But the opposite lechayr is also true. Okay. That's my first of my toys. Okay. And that is like this. When you have this is called a chafing dish, and what you have is you have a little fire on the bottom. Okay. And in here there's a big pan that holds water. Okay, you put water into here, and then you put food into the top pan. The food pan goes on top of that. Okay, the bottom is a water pan, and then comes a food pan on top of it. So, of course, the top pan, assuming these were all needed tefillah, assuming that they were real and they needed tefillah. So the top one, of course needs tefillah. You put the food into it. Okay, what about the bottom one? This bottom one over here has no contact with food. It's just a way of heating up water to heat your food eventually. So, this thing, if you look at our din, as we stand now, we'll see more as we go on. As we stand now, the bottom one shouldn't need tefillah, doesn't touch the food. But does it have bleez? Does the bottom one have bleez? Of course it has bleez. Because there's food sitting in here, there's loads of moisture and water passing back and forth. Of course there are bleez into the bottom one. The Indian Hagolas can we kasher these bottom ones, because they become trayful or plashets from the top food. But the Indian tefillah's kelim, it doesn't touch the food, so it doesn't have to be tangled. Okay, so here it's the opposite. Here, the taka has a bleah, but even though it has a bleah, we would say no. But the rule is klei sudam from the parasha. What the rule became? What touches food? The bottom will never touch food.
For the bottom kelim, the magul happens to be it's going to toughen up the
top. No, but it became straight. This thing becomes. I'm saying it's a thing. Bleah is coming. It's in the parasha of Hagolas kelim because it becomes straight. But even though it becomes straight, we don't have to table that yet. That's on my point. Okay, it is a thing that gets blue, isn't it? But we don't get, because my place is like sort of what you're saying. If my floor becomes straight, I don't have to title my floor, because it's straight, so it has nothing to do with it. Doesn't mean I have to title. Okay.
So water isn't considered food?
No, it is a food, but it's not being used as a food. Here it's using it as a heating media. What do you mean, theoretically?
You have a boiler, you could drink it,
that's it.
It's drinkable.
Right. It's used in making food for another dip. That's a good. I forgot to mention that. I was going to mention that. Zaki Chuba brings a shita, which he says no one agrees with, but he brings such a shita that says that the pot that you heat up water for washing your dishes, you know, they wash the dishes in a basin. That basin that you wash dishes in, you have to total it. And he says, "What are you talking about? It doesn't touch food." And what those people are thinking, Lamaisa is that has bleas. That's used with you stick your dirty dishes into it and there's potentially bleas in there, so they're looking at it like very, very exact, and if it has bleas then you have to handle it, and everybody else says, no, it's not like that. That's not, the rule is not just because it has a blea in it. When I say it doesn't have any contact with food, you don't eat out of that thing, it's just for washing dishes, so you don't need to tell. Okay. So that's a simple case. We'll get back to this shaking dish in a second. Okay, now. So therefore, let's move it a step further. What happens if I have, a blech, and I never put food on my blech, or I have a rack in my oven that I never put food on, or I have a serving tray, all these, I have things like this. That if I'm the kind of person who never puts food onto those things, so then I don't have to touch them. Okay? We're going to see in a later din that what happens if you once in a while put food onto it. Ignore that for now. But assuming I'm a person who never puts food onto that thing, I don't plan to put food onto it, so then I'm not going to need to touch it. It doesn't need to feel it, because it doesn't have, that's our thing, it doesn't have food content. Okay. What happens if I have a thing, that's why I put this ball, okay, pretend that this was a glass ball, okay? I have something, pretend this is a glass ball, okay? Okay, I have something that I use for food, okay, but the food never touches it. Like in this case, okay, this bowl, the candy that sit in this bowl were always wrapped candies. Okay? What if I have a cake tray, and I always put a doily down before I put the cake into it. So I never touch the cake onto the tray. What happens if I have a rack in my toaster, and I always put everything with foil on it first? So I use it all the time for food, but I never put food directly onto it. Like in this case, this bowl has been sitting in the waiting room for 1,000 years. Okay? It's never touched food. It always has candies that are wrapped up. Okay, so does this thing need or not need to? So, Rosham Zama says, and Rabbi Yashiv said, that yes, it does. Because in all those cases that I just described to you, I don't know if they say every one of those cases, in all those cases, the little bit of, in this case, the paper, or the foil, or the doily, is tuffle to the food. and it's considered that this is a kli that's holding food. This is kli sudah. This is holding the food. The fact that there's a little piece of paper wrapped of candy, that's tefillin, doesn't count. Okay? So be'etzem, this is considered that this is touching the food. Rav Shechter said the same thing, came to the same this conclusion, that he had a different way of being masperate, and then we'll hear the Nafka Minis between these ways of explaining. He said like this. He said, the reason why this is chayv tefillah is not because the paper is tefillah to the candy. That's not the reason. He says, the criteria we're looking for is not whether it touches the food. That's what it says in the din, it's that what touches the food. But the real Nafka Minis is it chayv sudah or not? So what we care about is, does the kli service the food or not? In this case, what does this kli do? This is a bowl that holds candies. So the paper there is unimportant. It's sort of like the paper is tuffled to the bowl. The bowl is servicing the food. If I have a cake tray, and I always put something underneath it, it's a cake tray. It services the cake. When I have a stovetop grate, that's not servicing food. That holds up pots. That's what it does. It holds up the pot. So that's why it doesn't need tefillah. But in this one, the reason, it's not that the paper is tuffled to the candy. It's that the bowl is servicing food. What the rule here is not touching. Doesn't say, it sort of does. It's a question whether it says touching or not. The criteria is not touching. The criteria is, like the Gemara says in the Gemara says, it's clay sudah mon parasha. Is this a clay sudah? Is this thing that is used for food? Yeah, this bowl services food. It holds a dozen candies. And if it needs tefillah. Okay? That's how he understands why these kind of things need to. Okay? The nafka mina between them is, a few nafka minas, but one of them is, if you have it's a machine for warming up baby bottles, okay, so we'll ignore the fact that it's electric. Make the assumption that even though it's electric, it needs to have tefillah in it. You take a baby bottle filled with milk, you stick it into this little machine, and it warms up the milk. So that milk, there's no contact, has no food contact. So the other people, the earlier people I mentioned to you who said, you could say that in this case the wrapper is tuffled to the food, then I'd say it's tuffled. Of course not, the baby bottle is not tuffled to the milk. Okay, you wouldn't say that is tuffled, they would say you don't have to tuffle it. Which is what most people assume, you don't have to tuffle it. And Rosh Hashanah said, no, you do have to tuffle it. Because what's this bottle warmer doing? It's not warming up bottles, it's warming up milk. It's servicing the milk, just like this bowl services the candy. That's what it's there for. Okay? It's not like a grate with a stovetop grate is just holding up pots. This is not holding up pots. This is warming up the milk. So he said, in that case, just like in our din, if it services the food, it's chayv in tefillah. This is a klei sudah that warms up the milk, so the baby can eat it. So he said that would be chayv in tefillah. So, no, because the tripod holds up pots. That's all it does.
But servicing the food, yeah.
No. Of course, indirectly, it services the food. Well, you're in the kitchen.
When you put the chicken, when you want to put the chicken down, you put the pot to have the chicken in the oven, then put the chicken down for shame, it's in the pot.
Okay, so that's...
One second. Well, I think your tiny is right, move by an oven.
Because
what in the oven she can't feel under
the chicken. The oven is...
That's right.
I'm coming to the oven in a second. Right. We're not really talking about, I'm going to talk about something similar to that. Right. Okay, just pause for that question. Okay.
But
that's
holding the pot.
It's
holding the pot. But the oven is making the food.
Okay, get to the oven. Regular for the oven. Okay. Regular. Okay. So, but also, what would you say now back to our shaking dish? Okay. What did Rav Shechter say about the shaking dish? I told you the bottom one has no food contact. It's just heating up the water. It doesn't have any contact with the food. Okay, sure. There's no food contact. Okay. This container is not tuffled because this is more serious. This is not going to be tuffled. But the water that's in there, is this pot servicing the food? You could argue that the pot on the bottom, the water pot proxy, is servicing the food. What is it doing? The thing on the bottom, it's
holding the water. How does it spill?
What do you say?
It's holding the water, so it's still.
It's holding the water. You could argue that bottom one is proxy servicing the food. Okay,
it's holding the water.
It's holding...
You want the water to heat up the food.
I'm not looking at the frame. I'm looking at this part of here. This thing has water in it. What is this doing?
This is a tripod. It's holding up the...
No, this is not holding up the pot. The frame holds up the pot. This thing is making hot water to make my food hot. It's a fancy way to do it, so I don't have to mush the water into it. It's a fancy way to do it. But the water is doing it. The water is heating up my food. So this whole pan is to heat up food. It's a fancy way to heat up food. If the tripod is there, just hold the pot. I mean, I can't put the pot right into the fire, so I hold it up a little bit. But this thing is, this is sort of what it's doing.
The fire under the tripod, that's the tripod is there.
Right, it's to separate them. But over here, there's a fire here. The pan here is a way to make the We could argue. Okay. Okay. Let's go on. Next. Even the way I'm telling you, Rabbi Shapta would say, we would assume, the next type of food, that a nutcracker wouldn't need tefillah. Why? Because the nutcracker, l'chaira, it's not serving the food. A nutcracker or a can opener, they remove an outer layer. Okay, their job is to get something out. That's not supposed to be there. The shell or the can. But they have nothing to do with the food. They don't make the food any better or do anything for the food. They just remove the thing that's blocking me from getting my food. It takes away the shell, or the can opener takes away the can. Okay, so l'chaira, even Rabbi Shechter's way, we should say as we stand now, shouldn't need to. Okay, and the family of Rabbi Shechter quote from him as saying that nutcrackers don't need to. And we understand that, why they shouldn't need to. Rav Vosner also says that he, a little bit at the end, takes it back and says, maybe you should teal that bracha. Rav Vosner says all you do with a nutcracker, at least he says, usually even when you use a nutcracker, you crack the nut, and then the actual getting the food out of the nut, you do by hand. He says, so his mom's like, he never touches the food. So he says, Pasha says he shouldn't eat tefillah. At the end, he says, maybe you should do without a bracha. Okay, but he says, those are the understandable shittas that we say is that the thing shouldn't need, the simpler shita that says is it doesn't need tefillah because it doesn't touch any food. Okay, it's only touching shells or it's touching the can. Okay, so Rosh Hashanah Zaman says, no. He says, no, it needs tefillah with a bracha, no less. Nutcracker. I'll get the candle. Candle is going to be next. For now, nutcracker. He says, it needs tefillah. And he says this, if I was more prepared, I would have put it up on the screen for you. He says like this. He says, Kivan sherigil mohavi hegoizam ala shulchan pa'odim klipasim. You bring the nuts to the table when you're even with the shells on. He doesn't mean to a table. It means you eat them. You eat, bring them to eat, even with the shells on. Harizet gufamaychal. So what he's saying is that, the way I understand it is, the Gra told us the criteria here is not whether it touches the food. Touching the food is the usual way we judge it. The criteria here is a klei suda. That means is when you sit down to eat, when you want to eat nuts, what do? When you want to eat nuts, you take out a nutcracker and you start eating the nuts. It's not like a factory's machine that prepares it, you know, like, away from you eating. When you're ready to eat, you take out the nutcracker, you break the nuts, and then you eat them. So the shell, from this perspective, the shell is like gufamaychal. The shell is like the food itself. Because touching food is not important. The etzim is not important if it touches food. What's important is it a kind of thing that you take when you're ready to eat? Is that how you get the food ready? Okay, so for that side, it's clay soup. Okay, now, Ravelsky once told me, I don't remember what he says, I only have notes, we're going to have to conjecture what he said. He told me that he thinks that they need tefillah. He told me that a nutcracker needs tefillah. And he just said the way all my notes say, so I don't remember it, I don't see what it says. They prepare the food for eating. Okay? They prepare the food for eating. I'm not exactly sure what that meant, when I wrote that. That he prepares the food for eating. I wondered if what he meant was that, you know, in Hilchos Shabbos is a discussion about burr when you're separating the shell from the nuts. Okay? I'm not saying that it is burr, but there's a whole discussion about whether it is or is not burr to separate the shell from the nuts. So it could be that the nutcracker, what it does is it helps you, you know, we look at the whole thing as the shell is not oichel, but separating the shell from the oichel is a way of making, is considered food preparation also. Again, not food contact, but food preparation also. Okay. If you guys are patient, we'll keep on. Okay. Now we move to a can opener. Okay. So can opener has none of the advantages that I just mentioned to you about a nutcracker. You don't bring can openers to the table. You don't use it for preparing the food. The can opener and the food are not intertwined that we should maybe look at them as one big piece of food. Okay, so can opener seems more simple that the can opener shouldn't need to. But there's a possibility why you may think it does. Okay, I don't think it's correct, but there's a possibility why you might think that the can opener needs to feel it. And that is, we're going to see in a later day, if I have a cleat, I mentioned to you a scissors. Okay, if I have a scissors I use for cutting paper, and I decide one time I want to use it for food, I have some other kli that I use, usually not for food, but once in a while I decide to use it for food, so the Ramah says you have to type that. Okay? We're going to talk about over there whether that's the truth, whether we actually postulate that or not. But for now, we'll make the assumption that if you use it once in a while for food, it's chayav in tefillah. Okay, let's work with that assumption. That's chayav in tefillah.
I use it once.
That's a question over there. We're going to get to that then. Exactly how many times...
Maybe use the scissors one time.
Right, so that's a question over there. But let's work the assumption now that if you choose to use it even one time, or even sometimes, you may chayv and teal. Okay, it's going to be a halacha ches. For now, just take my word. There's such a possibility that it's chayv and teal. What happens, but if you have a food, you have something like a can opener, that of course you never use it for food, but you... There's unintentional contact with the food. Which is to say, when you finish opening up a can, often enough, there's food on your can. It means the can pokes into your food and it touches the food. So when you say that this has food contact, I don't mean all the time, but it has occasional food contact, and if occasional is enough, so should we say that this counts, that this is considered that this has food contact? Or what you say is that it's always unintentional. You're not trying to get the can opener into the food. The fact that it touches the food is just happens sort of by mistake. So should that count as considered having it has food contact or doesn't have food? Okay, so the at first there should be an obvious right from our din. Okay, it says, and I think it is a good right. It says the tripod doesn't need to have tefillah. Okay, the tripod is the grate and the pot sits on top of it. Okay, well tripods get dirty. Food spills onto them. Okay. Well, so that's a reason to think that it's not true. Okay, Rick, I'm going to say that one second. Rick, okay, I'll say what Thomas says. Thomas says like this. He says this, even though it touches the food, okay, in Indian hakol is king, we have such a din that you to talk about what should you do about that thing on the mat, does it need to be kosher, right? But that food is always going in the garbage. Okay, so what you mean to say is like this, that the criteria here is not whether it touches food. The criteria is it clay suda or not? Well, it's not clay suda, because the food that touches there goes, no one eats that food. Okay, so that's a reason to argue this. Okay, but I thought at first maybe it was right. I'm not convinced. No, I think David is more right, that it's not a right. Okay, another passive right is that then later on, if a person buys a knife, and he's not going to use it for food. He buys it from a guy, and he's not going to use it for food. So it's not chayv and teal. It's not chayv and teal. It's a knife for, I don't know, for doing something else, you know, for cutting something else. He's not chayv, box cutter, not chayv and teal. Then he lent it to another yid, and the other yid decides he wants to use it for food. Okay, so I lend it to you for a week, and you use it for food. So the Mechaber says, there's no chiv of tefillah in that case. Even though the other person decides to use it for food, there's no chiv of tefillah. We'll see when we get to that end that there's a Tazen Shach who maybe argue for like a side reason. But the Mechaber says, you're not chiv of tefillah in that case. So why not chiv of tefillah? How can they say the reason why not chiv of tefillah is because you're not the owner. How are you to decide that it should not be used? Well, is that worse than unintentional use? Is that you said, you know, that if you, the not owner, did it, so you can't decide what the status of the clean is. Is that worse than a unintentional use? Horror, that's unintentional, just like other things are. Okay, we'll see another right in a minute. But my is it seems that it's correct that unintentional use doesn't count. Rebelsky said that can openers don't, or before said that also, and others, it's normally assumed that can opener does not need to. Okay, so now we're going to move on to like this. Another thing that we have to sort of separate, but it's connected to our thing, and that is like this. In the Shulchan Aruch, in printed in Halacha Hey, Rama says the following thing. Okay, he says, the chen kisui shekoifen al hapas, la'afoisei, a cover that you put on top of bread to bake the bread doesn't need tefillah. Our kisu kederet tzorach tefillah. The cover you put on the pot needs tefillah. Okay, now the way the Rama writes v'chein, and the whole thing that he's talking about, I'll explain to you what it means in a second, leads the Chavdus Piyom to say is that Rama really belongs in our din. Okay, the place for that din is not in halacha hey. That's what I'm talking about today. That Rama does not belong in halacha hey. It belongs in halacha dalet. The v'chein means is the cover that you put onto when you bake bread. Like you put some kind of a cover on the top of it, doesn't need tefillah because it never touches the bread. You have the bread baking over there, and the cover that goes on top of it never touches the bread. They said the cover never touches the bread, then it doesn't need to be tefillah. Okay, so before I tell you about the pot, just pause for a second. You should just know that there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach who talks about that the cover actually does touch the bread. The cover sometimes does touch the bread. And he talks about leaning the Hagolah of it. How do you capture that cover because it occasionally touches the bread? Not to get to us right now what he talks about there, but the fact is that it does occasionally touch the bread. It's another raya that unintentionally touching it doesn't make it chayv and teal. Okay? Well, we talked about that a second. Okay, so the cover of the bread doesn't touch the bread. It's not chayv and teal. So what's with the cover of the pot? Why is the cover of the pot different? The difference is that in a pot, when you cook up something in a pot, or you fry something in a pot, there's a lot of vapor comes out of the top of it. Yesterday when David and I captured something, you can see loads and loads of vapor coming out of it. So the point that in in Hichas, in Bliyas, in Hagol's Kalim, we look at it, that liquid is so thick, it's called Hevel HaGedera, it's so thick that it's as if it touched the food itself. It's not Iru, it has to do with Hayikashnekli. And that's considered to be direct contact with the food, and therefore the cover of the pot is touching the food. It's not touching the regular part of the food. It's touching this thick cloud that comes on top of the food, and that's considered as if it's touching the food. Okay? So the reason why the cover of a pot or of a frying pot needs to be toveled is because all that vapor that gets trapped underneath it is as if it's food itself, and therefore it needs to be sealed because it touches the food. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you some details about covers. Has some questions about covers, but seemingly the this din is not like what Rabbi Shechter said. And the reason why it's not like it is because the cover that you put on the bread, why do you put a cover on the bread? According to Rabbi Shechter, touching is not important. So what's really the difference between putting a cover on a pot or putting a cover on a bread? Both of them make the food cook better. That's why you do it. It must be. It's there for cooking the food. It's not for decoration. So you're putting it on to cook the food. So what's the difference whether it covers liquid or covered solid? This difference that I told you, that if one has this thick cloud and one doesn't, make no difference to Rabbi Shechter. He doesn't care if it touches. All he cares about is whether is it servicing the food. So L'chaira, over here, the cover is of the bread is also servicing the food. Why is it any different if it serves the food by a liquid or a solid? Both of them are helping the food. So that din, which is the Rambam, the next din, seemed not like Rabbi Shechter. I'll only tell you that even though that's what it seems like, and that's the pshat in the din, Rabbi Asher says something which is very similar to what Rabbi Shechter said, and that was like this. Rabbi Asher said that if you have a cover on a container that keeps the food from losing something that it has, in the case that they bring them from is, it keeps the carbon dioxide from getting out of your soda. Okay, so then it keeps something getting out, that's considered to be that it's a part of the kli and needs to be covered. If it keeps something getting from the outside, like from bacteria to getting in and spoiling it, that's not clear. That's a long line of shot. Okay, I'll pass on that, but for now, and you should know there's an Urza Ruah, who has a different shot in this Ramah. Of course, Urza Ruah is a different shot in Ramah. The Urza Ruah is a different shot in this din, which would be maybe a different shot in Ramah, and maybe that's what they hold like. But seemingly, this Ramah is not like the Urza Ruah. Another cover is, why don't you have a cover on a barbecue? Okay, you have a cover on a barbecue. When you make a barbecue, you put your food out, you put it on fire, and there's a cover that comes down on top of it. Okay, now, if we're thinking about whether we have to title, if you have to title that cover, seemingly that cover is similar to the cover on bread, not like the cover on liquids. Because when you're making a barbecue, there's not this tremendous amount of vapors. I mean, how much vapor builds up underneath it? Maybe Dominal tells better. How much vapor builds up? It's more along the lines of a bread cover than a pot cover. And a pot cover is all the water boiling that's filling up the whole thing and making hell out there. Her in a barbecue, the hot dogs and potatoes and whatever you put into there are not in so much vapor to make that status. So we would think that the cover of a barbecue shouldn't need to be titled. But think about how Rabbi Shechter would think about it. How would he say that that needs to be titled or not? What's the reason why there's a cover on a barbecue? The cover on the barbecue is because it keeps the heat inside of it. Okay, the cover on a bread doesn't keep the heat in because the bread's baking in an oven. When you bake bread in an oven, the whole oven chamber keeps the heat in. So the bread cover is just doing this little bit, whatever it's doing something to help the cooking. But in a barbecue, the cover of the barbecue is the cover of the barbecue is what keeps the heat in and very much assists in the baking of it. Much more similar even to the cover of a pot. So l'chaira, according to him, you would have to title that cover of a barbecue. Now, maybe you think that. Maybe that's the truth. They think you have to cover the cover of a barbecue. We would think not. It doesn't touch the food. It doesn't even touch any hevel because there's no hevel in the barbecue. You wouldn't have to cover the cover. Title the cover. He seemingly would say you have to. But what's more surprising, if I could use the word, to us would be is, then l'chaira he should say you should have to title the chamber of a toaster also. Because the chamber of a toaster also does the same function. It never touches the food. I'm not talking about the grate. Chamber of the toaster. Okay, it never touches the food. So for us, we say, of course you don't have to title. Us, Rabbi Asher, and Rav Zalman, what we're looking for is, does it touch the food? It doesn't touch the food. So we normally say, it doesn't touch the food, you don't have to title it. But he says, does it help in the cooking of the food? Of course it helps in the cooking. Because if not for that chamber, your food would never cook. Because in a big open space, it would cook in 1,000 years. So you need the chamber to keep all the heat in.
It's not just the yoger grill, it's the whole grill.
Right, yeah, I don't mean just the cover, everything, the whole thing. Now, when we get to an oven, which is what you said, we're going to talk about ovens later. Okay, there are other reasons why I might not need to tie up an oven. I'm focusing on a toaster. The toaster loses a lot of those reasons why you wouldn't have to tie up an oven. Okay, so oven itself, put on the side for now. But a toaster oven is more of the question, which is the whole chamber functions for the food. It's all there to help keep the heat in and make the food cook. So seemingly, according to Rebbe Shapiro, I don't remember asking that question, and I don't think he would tell someone to tie up that chamber. But we have a hard time understanding why Taka, why wouldn't you? Okay. One last thing that has to do with the cover has nothing to do with what we've been talking about today about touching the food. And that is like this. I told you last time, the Rabbi Yashiv says that if a person does tefillah on a pot with a cover, the bracha that he makes is a tefillah's kli, not a tefillah's kelim. And he says, you say a tefillah's kli because it's one kli, the cover and the pot is one kli. And actually, that may be have a makarta in the Erzeru that I didn't mention to you before. Hutaka says like that. Maybe the makarta is like that. He said, you make the bracha atzilas kli. That's one thing. One rule. Okay. Kli is singular, and kelim is plural. Kelim. Yeah. It's, you say atzilas kli instead of atzilas kelim.
What
did you say? Kli? Kli. Atzilas kli. Kli. Chof lamed yud. You pronounce it however you like. Okay. So, you pronounce it how you like it. Okay. So, now, that... Don't worry about the dip. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing, there's another din. That is, when you do tefillah, let's say you have a kli that's made half out of metal and half out of wood. I don't mean it's a mixture. Let's say it's a spoon. And the handle is wood, and the spooning part of it is metal. So the metal needs tefillah, so to speak, and the wood wouldn't be mechayev in tefillah. Wood doesn't need tefillah. But the din is, when you tefillah this spoon, you have to tefillah the wood also. You don't just tefillah the metal part of it, you tefillah the wood. The whole thing, the whole kli has to undergo tefillah simultaneously. Okay? So, Rabbi first says, let's put these two things together. On the one hand, we say a cover and a pot are considered one kli. Okay? Another thing we have is that you have to tefillah the whole kli. You treat the whole kli at once, even a part of it is not tied in tefillah. So that means what happens if I have a crock pot? And the cover of my crock pot is glass. And the base of my crockpot is ceramic, as many of them are. The base is ceramic. So the ceramic doesn't need tefillah, wouldn't demand tefillah because of the ceramic, but the cover is glass and does demand tefillah. So he says, the cover needs tefillah. Rabbi Yashiv says, the cover and the pot are considered one. So when I tefillah the cover, I have to tefillah the pot with it. The pot, the pot itself wouldn't be something that would be chayav in tefillah. The etzem wouldn't be chayav because it's made out of cheres. But since it's one with the cover, so then it should be sort of dragged along with the cover, just like the cover needs tefillah. The bowl does also. Just like we say, if I told by a spoon, if half it was what it would need, if it's one big kli, you have to tell the whole thing, so you should have to tell the whole thing also.
Same.
A variation of the same thing. Okay? It's a variation of the same thing. He considers it to be one big kli. He told me, it comes from Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv said, you make bracha atzilas kli, now atzilas kelim, it's one big kli. So now, it's not so clear. I mean, did Rabbi Yashiv mean, like David said, did he really mean that you have to title it once, like the whole kli, dunk it in together, the cover and the pot together? Is that really what he meant? Did he mean it's one kli, that one part can make the other part behind the tefillah kli? It's not so clear. I mean, is that for real? So this thing that Rabbi first is saying, that you should title the ceramic bases, I don't know anybody else who says like that. And the question is whether, when he's quoting this part, Rabbi Yashiv didn't say to title the base. That, I don't know if anybody asked that question, but he didn't say that part of it. Rabbi first is putting these pieces together to say that therefore you have to tefillah the base. Most people do not. In fact, do not do that. Okay, so let me just show you, just a summary. Okay, that's what we have here for slides.
Most people do tefillah the covers.
They do tefillah the cover because it's glass and it's a cover on a pot. The cover on a pot, the Rama says a cover on a pot, you have to tefillah. Even if it doesn't touch the food per se, it touches the vapor that's underneath it, and you have to tefillah. So you cover, most people tefillah the glass and not the bottom. First, tell us people not to. Okay, anyhow, just three slides here, items that we talked about. Of a crock pot that has a glass cover and a ceramic pot. Everyone, almost everybody, tells us the glass on top. Rabbi first says to travel the bowl part of it. So he says,
hey, what's the ceramic? Do it at the same time?
No, I don't know if he tells people to do that. But Lachaira, if you're thinking that's the problem, maybe you shouldn't. Yeah, I don't
know. It could be chatzitza. If you don't need to do it together, you stick it together.
That's worse. You're right. Okay, we can answer those questions. Okay.
Put in the mikvah and then put the cover on in the mikvah.
What's the water filled inside of you?
What's the water
inside? Okay. Anyhow, here's a list of things. come out everyone in these three talks that this three lists, you'll see. This is the first one. I don't know if you have finished, you guys read. There are some things on here that we may not have said, I said corkscrew, doesn't need to, is on the list that we didn't speak about. Okay. I assume in this, hope I got my colors right, I assume this is not like every first. Okay. Anything else that we didn't talk about? A microwave plate? Knife sharpener? Egg slicer? Pet food dish? I didn't see anybody speak about that, a pet food dish. Well, hurry, it's not clay suit, right? I mean, the pets don't count, so I assume it doesn't need to. And anything else that we didn't talk about here? No. Spoon rest. Okay, spoon rest. I sort of already forced to mention that. A spoon rest means like, you put your spoon on the counter, you don't eat off it, it's not a good tray. Okay, later.